In May 1869, I published in the Catholic World an article on the woman question which attracted some attention and was rather coarsely responded to in the Revolution by my old friend Mrs. Elizabeth Cady Stanton, at which I was a little surprised, for when I was intimate with her and her husband, she was very gentle, refined, and ladylike in her manners. Her response, setting aside a little superfluous scolding, which indicated that she had soured with exposure, increase of years, and family cares, was that a Catholic and a foreigner could never understand American institutions. As to the foreigner, the writer of the article is an American, who can trace his descent on the paternal side from one of the first settlers with Hooker of the Hartford Colony, Connecticut, and on the maternal side, collaterally at least, to the pilgrims that came over in the Mayflower. There are few Americans that can claim a longer American pedigree, which is not improbably somewhat longer than that of dear Mrs. Elizabeth Cady Stanton herself. I remember the time when she thought I understood American institutions, and do not believe that even now she will pretend that I lost my understanding on becoming a Catholic. We do not believe that intelligent foreigners who seriously study our institutions, whatever that term may mean, are incapable of understanding them. We Americans are, in some respects, like a certain class of women who fancy that they have something peculiar about them that nobody understands, neither father nor mother, neither sister nor brother, neither lover nor husband, and that they are doomed to go through life without ever being once understood. The trouble with these unhappy women is that they do not understand themselves and have very little in or about them but their unrest for anyone else to understand. It's pretty much the same with us Americans. We are a restless, capricious, changeable set of mortals without any fixed or permanent character except that of imagining that we are a peculiar and superior people. We are, as a people, eaten up with vanity and conceit. We are never satisfied with what we have. We are behind most nations in intellectual and moral culture. Compare our state papers, for proof, with those of Mexico or any of the Central or South American republics. We might say, those of China or Japan. Our merchants can bear no comparison with those of Great Britain, France, or Holland. And the English, the Irish, the Scotch, the French, the Dutch, the Germans easily beat us Yankees here in our own country in money getting, and the Jews easily distance our shrewdest financiers. It is no wonder that it seems to us that foreigners do not understand either our character or our institutions. They can judge them only as they are or as they find them, while we ourselves think and judge them not as they are, but as we expect in a nigh future to make them, or as they exist in our hopes and imaginations. We have no fixed or stable national character, no fixed or stable institutions. Both are constantly changing under the very eye of the spectator. But as we change with them, we note it not. The American people have no longer the character they had, nor so much character as they find in our own youth, and the laws and institutions, daily subjected to a reforming process, are hardly any longer recognizable. How then should foreigners understand us? The Trollopes, the Hamiltons, the Marriotts, the Dickenses, et id. Omnigenis, have said very little of us that is absolutely and true, or that was so at the time they said it, or allowing for a little exaggeration that was not true.